Fair enough.
So Claire can't come up now. No, I'm just kidding. She will. She might. Yeah, so they already just pretty much just shared everything I was going to say. No. But pretty much gave the message in a picture form there with Katie. That was pretty amazing, actually, what just happened, because what I wanted to talk about was the voice of the prophet and the one voice of the prophet this morning. So, and this is a word I've been thinking about the last couple weeks. And Gabrielle, maybe it was like 3 weeks ago, was it the first time we came back? I don't know. She kind of talked about the spirit of Jezebel and how we're dealing with the spirit of Jezebel and the battle that we're in. And so I've kind of been stewing on that a little bit and just kind of thinking about what does that mean, right? What does that mean, and what do we do with that, and how do we strategically move through this thing that we're in right now, this chaos that we're in? And so I decided to kind of go and read through 1 and 2 Kings. So if you have your Bibles, you can open to 1 Kings chapter 19, I believe is where this is. And as I was reading these stories that you've probably read before, the story of Elijah and Elisha and Jezebel and Ahab, and it really felt like it was coming like a brand new way, reading it for the first time ever, and everything just made so much sense to me. And I think it's really important that we understand, okay, if there's something we're battling with Jezebel, and I know the church is sort of like, we've talked about Jezebel. I've heard things about Jezebel all the time in church, and it's always sort of pictured like, you know, one woman coming in and there's a seducing thing going on, and there's like this fear around that word even, you know, there's this like fear of, so I think it's kind of important to understand who she is and what she was doing. We also, right at the beginning when this whole thing started, we found Know Your Enemy. Stacy posted it on our, I believe on the Facebook page, and I think it might have been Michael who shared, hey, you should check this out. And so if you haven't watched it yet, I highly recommend it. It's called Know Your Enemy, and it's by, what's their name? The Fuel Project. It's on YouTube, and it's a series of videos, but it really helps you to kind of see who the enemy is, because if we can see the enemy, we can battle the enemy, you know? That's the first step of getting free from something, is when you can actually see how the enemy is working in your life. So the word Jezebel means chaste or literally without cohabitation. Baal exalts, or Baal is husband to. And Baal was the name of a deity worshipped by the Phoenicians. So Jezebel married Ahab, who was king over Israel. You know, it was interesting. I saw that it was he married Jezebel right after Israel was divided into two. Isn't that interesting? And of course, he wasn't supposed to do that. He wasn't supposed to marry from outside. And he did, and he brought her in. So immediately she had, so I'm going to give you like the cliff notes of 1 and 2 Kings. So immediately, Jezebel had the Baal temple set up and had the Israelites worshiping her. And you can imagine, like, they saw that going on probably for years, and it was around them and surrounding their, you know, where they were, and they probably saw it and recognized it and knew what it was. And who knows, maybe some of them went out there and did some things with those pagan worshipers. You know, who knows? But then she brings it in, and there it is right in the center, right? right into the center of where they were. And she also killed the prophets of the Lord. So it says she killed 100. Oh, she killed all but 100 of the prophets of the Lord. And Obadiah went and hid 100 of the prophets in caves. So they had to go hide. So the two main things that Jezebel did was she set up the worship to another right in the center of the city of God. And she killed or she silenced the voice of the Lord. And so what has been the word this year? Gabrielle has shared, you know, that the voice is going to be all about, you know, getting the word out, the voice. And Jezebel silenced the voice. So then Elijah has this big battle on Mount Carmel. And it was him by that time. So she killed the prophets. And here he is by himself. And there was 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah. Right? So that 850 against him. Okay? And one voice of God against 850 voices of the enemy. I don't know about you, but I feel like right now, I feel like one voice in 850 voices of the enemy. Like, wow, that's how it feels right now. So they go up to Mount Carmel. And he tells the prophets of Baal, hey, like, here, take a bowl and, you know, let me see if you can get a fire under it and ask your gods if they can do something. And they spend all day trying to do it and doesn't happen. And so let me just read what happens. This is 1 Kings 18, verse 30. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Let me just say that one more time. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seas of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bowls in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, fill 4 water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifices, and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time, and they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time, and they did it a third time. So the water ran all over the altar, and he also filled the trench with water, so it was covered in water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know you, that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. And then he took, seized the prophets and Baal, and then he executed them all there. So he shut the mouth of the enemy in that moment. That, you know, 850. He had a great victory, right? He had a great victory. But then what happens? He gets a direct message from Jezebel. She comes, you know, sends a direct message to him. And what? And he runs away, right? He flees. He runs away. And then an angel meets him and feeds him and strengthens him and says, you know, he takes a 40-day journey to Horeb, the mountain of the Lord. But it's here that I thought was really interesting, because I always hear about him running away from Jezebel. And, you know, there again, that's like that fear of Jezebel, you know, whenever you hear it in the church. Because even Elijah ran away after he had this victory. So I'm thinking, all right, there's got to be more to this story. And I'm not sure if it was Jezebel he was afraid of, or if it was the people not standing with him. Because it says, and this is chapter 19, verse 9. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And here you hear his heart. You hear his heart. So he said, he didn't say, "I'm running from Jezebel. I'm really afraid of her. She's going to kill me." He didn't say that. He said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Right, right. It wasn't Jezebel. It was the people had turned from God. And so here he was, like, and you could see it now. Can't you see it right now in the world? Like, when the world is turning from the Lord, the voice is silenced, right? He was one man, zealous for the Lord. And he was living amongst the children who were turned away from the Lord. So he no longer had that collective voice of the people. He wasn't saying, "Jezebel's after me." He was saying, again, he said it two times. He said it twice. He says it again in verse 14. The same exact thing. So Jezebel had turned their hearts away from God, separated them from the truth, and silenced the voice of the Lord. So how does the Lord respond to Elijah? What does the Lord say to him? This is verse 15. Then the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah," something like that, "you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elijah will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So the Lord knew there was some. Elijah didn't really. He didn't have confidence that there were any, but the Lord says there were some. He knows who they are. He knows whose hearts are turned to him. So then Elijah hands his mantle to Elisha, and Elisha starts following Elijah, right? The funny thing is, I can't find anything about Jezebel going after him. It's not there. You know, you think she was set to kill him and ready to kill him. I can't find the part where she's still chasing after him. Instead, she gets busy stealing vineyards. And the next time Elijah comes in contact with Ahab says, "Have you found me, O my enemy?" So who was afraid here in this story? Ahab was afraid because he knew that was Elijah was the mouth of the Lord and he was the voice of the Lord, and Ahab was afraid. And Elijah curses Ahab and Jezebel, and Ahab ends up humbling himself. And so he tells him, well, the calamity is not going to fall on you. It's going to fall on your family, your sons. And then a whole bunch of stuff happens before we get to see what happens to Jezebel. So I'm like, I want to see what happens to her, you know? And it's like, again, reading it for the first time with new eyes. So all the way in 2 Kings chapter 9 is where something happens. I'm not sure how many years go by. Maybe Stacy could tell you. You have to ask him. But he doesn't know, he said. So, as many as it took, right? Ahab dies. Elijah gets dramatically taken up to heaven. Elisha becomes a miracle-working prophet. So he followed Elijah around, and he learned from him. And then he becomes the voice of the Lord. And he becomes, people see him do miracles. He raises a child from the dead. He feeds 100 men. He heals a leprous man. So you can imagine he must have had now a reputation, right? And people were looking to him as the voice of the Lord now. So it's really amazing when you read through 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Samuel how much authority the voice of the Lord had. You know, just one word and it would change it all. So then what happens? So then he goes and he anoints Jehu. This is in chapter 9. He goes and anoints Jehu. And so it was Jehu, and it had prophesied by Elijah that you know, what would happen to Jezebel. But it took a long time for that to happen. And Jehu, he had to get rid of some of the sons of Ahab and Jezebel first, that had taken Ahab's place. But it's amazing when you read it, because it really is. The voice of the Lord, you could see the authority in the story of how he just, people, you know, the watchmen's went out to meet him to basically tell on him, but then they ended up joining in with him. And then here comes Jezebel's violent death. So now when Jehu had come to Jezreel, this is 9 verse 30. Jezreel heard of it, and she put pain. Jezebel heard of it, and she put paint on her eyes and adorned her head and looked through a window. Then, as Jehu entered at the gate, she said, "Is it peace, Zimri, murderer of your master?" And he looked up at the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" So two or three eunuchs looked out at him. Then he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down. And some of her blood splattered on the wall and the horses and trampled her underfoot. Hello. It was just, who is on my side? I'm the mouthpiece of the Lord. This is what the Lord's doing. Are you going to join me? Yes, we're going to join you. And they did it. He didn't have to do anything. Nobody, they just pushed her out a window. I think that's pretty interesting. It's all it took, the word of the Lord and a couple eunuchs that were on the side of the Lord. They were on his side, people on his side, people that believe the word of the Lord. This is what we need. This is what we need right now. We need the word of the Lord and the voice of the prophets speaking the word. So isn't that funny? We prayed this morning that the prophets would speak, that the prophets would have the word. And this is the word I gave. I think God is speaking. What do you think? And this is what I'm feeling very jealous for right now. He is jealous for us, and we sing about him being jealous for us. And all this chaos in the country is causing us, there's a hunger that's building. There's a hunger that's coming because we're hungry for just his voice. We're hungry for his voice, not a muffled voice, not a watered down voice, not, you know, we just want his voice and a body that is unified in that voice that will take down the worship of Baal. Because that is still happening. 100% that's still happening. The problem is it's not going to come from like the top down. It's not going to come from, you know, somebody out here that's going to do that. There are so many voices, churches, prophets. Some of them are lining up together. Some of them are not. We talked about this early on when we were like, there's so many words going out of what's coming and what's happening. And some of them are good and some of them are bad. And you know, where do we line up? I don't know is what it feels like. I don't know about you. So even in our little body of believers, there's different ideas and opinions based on our own experiences and, you know, mixed with some of the word of the Lord. And, you know, so we can't, that's not where it's going to come from. It has to come from his voice. It has to come from him speaking to us one message, one truth, right? And I'm feeling jealous for that right now. And it feels like life or death right now. For the church, it feels like life or death. We can't control what our leaders are doing and what they're saying. We can't control, you know, church leaders, what they're saying. What we have to do, take responsibility, right? How do we take responsibility to get rid of this spirit of Jezebel that's trying to silence the truth tellers in our country? That's what's happening. It has to start from the bottom up. It has to start from us. From us. It has to start from, you know, us in our homes. First, we have to get Jezebel out of our lives. We have to do that. We have to take that macro picture of, you know, oh, somebody else is going to do it. And we got to, like, go from the micro to the macro. Bring it down to our household, to ourselves. What altars have we set up in our hearts that take us from him? Look at the altars in our own lives. What did Elijah say? I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. He's offered us his hand in marriage. You know, how are we doing as his bride? What does it look like to set up altars to the Lord in our daily lives? What does that look like? Are we zealous for his voice in our lives? And you know, we were talking about this on Thursday with the ladies. That word zealous and jealous can be used interchangeably. It means basically intense commitment and single-minded intention. So being focused on one thing, one voice. So we first have to get the one voice to become the one voice, right? And I've been training myself to do this. And so practically speaking, I just want to give you some practical to first of all, believe that you can hear his voice. But what I've been doing is I've been trying to just get one, and I shared this on a devotion a couple months back, but I've been just trying to get one word for me for the day. Just something simple, like, it could be, he loves me. It could be, I don't know. It could be a scripture, but what I try to do is bring it down to just even something I can remember during that day. Okay? So I've been working on just getting that one message for me so that I can be a hearer of his one message for you. And I've been trying to teach my kids that too, and we've been working on that together. Just learning how to get that one, knowing the word, but asking him, you know, after you read the word, what are you saying to me? What are you saying, God? We talk about that a lot in this church. What are you saying? What is God saying? And what are you going to do about it? That's one of the things we say a lot. And so just really asking him to give you a specific word. And also, if you hear a message, you know, there's lots of great messages you can listen to now all the time. Don't just listen to the message. Listen to the message and say, okay, God, what are you saying to me in that message? And what do I need to take from it? And then take it and eat it. Say it. What is it? And we need to train ourselves to hear the one voice so that we can be the one voice as a family together. And the Lord's going to do it. He said he's going to do it, right? Zechariah 8:2 says, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal, with great fervor. I am zealous for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. We need to become our own cities of truth so that we can be a mountain of truth as a family. He's going to do it. He's going to find the remnant. He's going to find those that are lining up with him. You know, he's going to do it no matter what. He's not going to stop. I want to be one of those that are standing with him. I want to be one of those that hears him tell me, push that thing out the window. Okay. All right. What do you ever say, Lord? Yeah. So, and the last thing is that he wants us to be the oil poured out. We talked about this in our ladies' study, how it talks about becoming the oil. And we like the manifestation of oil, and we think it's great. But what he really wants is us to become priests poured out. We are the oil. We become oil when we are just pouring out his voice. As a body, we become a priesthood, a kingdom of priests, pouring out the oil to the Lord. And, all the nations will be drawn to that. All the nations. If we just become his voice. So, we already kind of did the activation for this. Huh? Okay. All right, I'll just pray, because we already did the activation. I was going to, you know, activate us all, but hey, let's be activated again. Stand up and let's, you know, if you didn't come up here before and you just want to, you know, be oiled up again and anointed, I want to just speak to all of you. You're all anointed to hear the word of the Lord. You all can hear his voice. He loves you, and he speaks to you in your own special way. Maybe you're not a picture person. Maybe you're just somebody that is more analytical, and you just read the word, and he speaks to you. I just remind you that you can hear his voice, and you can hear it every day. So I bless you with the oil of his presence, with the oil of his love. I just anoint each and every one of you. As a prophet in the house, I just anoint each and every one of you, prophets of the Lord. Oil pour out. Thank you, Jesus, for your oil. Thank you, Lord, that you are the message. That you are the message, and your message is good. That you're a good, good father. That your message is in us, that we carry your message, that we can become one voice together. Thank you, Lord. We stand with you. We stand on your side. We will bow to no other, Lord. Forgive us for any bowing we've done, any ways that we've set up altars, Lord. Help us to see the altars in our lives, to take them down, Lord. Today, I say today is a good day to take those altars down, whatever they are. Make it very obvious to each and every one of us what it is, Lord. And help us to turn our eyes towards you again, Lord. Fully turn our eyes towards you so that we can kick out the voice of the enemy and that we can be the voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.